So we're doing, this is the second Sunday of the series that we're doing, Hearing God's Voice, right? And last Sunday, what did we talk about? We talked about the written word of God. As I prayed, the truth is, God is always speaking. Whether you are able to hear him or not, your Father is always speaking to you. The second truth is, as his child, you are able. Say, I am able. You are able to hear your Father's voice. The enemy lies to you and says, God's not speaking to you. He's silent. The enemy lies to you and says, you can't hear God. You're not spiritual enough. You sinned last night. You can't hear God. How dare you try to hear God? The enemy speaks lies to you so that if you believe those lies according to your faith. It's not just for good things. The faith could work the other way around, right? The enemy wants us to believe that God's not speaking or that we are not able to hear God. But we are. He is and we are. He is speaking and we are able. Say he is. Say we are. He is and we are able. Last week we talked about the written word of God, right? Written word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? God breathed, right? He breathed his spirit, life into all scripture, right? And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, and in righteousness. Right? God breathed life. The word of God. Let's look at the next scripture. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is alive and active. Everybody say alive and active. It's not just letters that's dead. The written word of God, the word of God, the scripture is alive and active because God breathed life. He inspired these words in here. Amen? And today we're going to talk about the preached word of God. The way you could hear God's voice is by listening to a message, to listening and receiving the preached word as the word of God, right? Not just, what do we say, right? Not just as word of man, but as word of God. You see this bread? I bought it this morning. It looks so good, right? Right? This bread represents the bread of heaven. The bread of heaven, the word of God. Bread of heaven equals the word of God. The word of God equals who? Jesus. Jesus, right? This bread of heaven, when you eat the bread of heaven, you know what happens? It cleanses you from the lies and the junk. When you eat the bread of heaven, you know what it does? It nourishes you. When you eat the bread of heaven, right, it strengthens you. The preacher, okay, is like a delivery man that delivers the bread, but not like the postman. You see, a postman delivers the box, but I don't get to eat. I don't get any benefit from delivering that box to the person. You hear me? But the preacher, the only way to deliver the bread of heaven is I need to first eat. And I need to allow this bread of heaven to cleanse me, to speak to me, to strengthen me, to nourish me. And once this is digested by the preacher, then automatically I am able to deliver the very word that gave me life to you and to you and to all of you. I dare you. Just kidding. You hear me? The preached word of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. And this is the foundation. Everybody say foundation. Of our theology of preaching. The preacher should speak as God's mouthpiece, okay? Or not speak at all. If I'm here to speak my words, I should just sit down, right? The sermon is not man's thoughts about God's word. It's not about, what do I think this means and giving it to you, okay? The sermon is God's thoughts about man's world, about where you are, who you are. God wants to speak to you through this, his preached word, right? Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 2:13, right? Word of God which you heard from us, okay? Word of God which you heard from us. When you receive it, right, as the word of God, it works effectively, effectively. I remember I was telling our teachers earlier this year, you know, sometimes you see the bread, it's right there. How many Bibles do you guys have at home? It's there. But we become so weak. We're not able to actually, even though it's there, we see it. We see it. All we have to do is eat it, and it will strengthen us. You will walk in victory. It's there, but we just can't get ourselves to get to the Word of God. About 5-6 years ago, okay, Sean, I told you I will never talk about this, but this is for the truth, for the preached word. 5-6 years ago, I started to go through perimenopause, and it whacked my hormones so bad that I was frustrated, like anything could just tick me off, and I would get so angry, right? And I remember I told you when I preached at that time, for the first time in my life, I understood those people in prison that put bodily harm on others. I totally understood them for the first time. I wanted to kill and destroy. I was so, during that time, not knowing that I was going through perimenopause, I felt terrible about myself. I'm a pastor. I'm a Christian. What is wrong with me? Everybody is getting on my nerves, right? I don't like anybody. I don't even like myself, right? My hormones were crazy, right? And during that time, Benjamin avoided eye contacts. When I come down, he's just like, Benjamin. Oh, you know, look at me. Oh, what? Huh? Huh? What? Huh? He avoided eye contact with me because I was mean and I couldn't help myself. And during that time, right, I realized I was going through perimenopause. So I started to study and I started to be so angry at God. God, it's not fair. It's not fair for a woman, right? And when we become early teenagers, we have to go through this stuff every month, and it whacks our hormones, and we get so sensitive, and, you know, we go through that all our lives, and then we get married, and when we have kids, right, our body goes into trauma. Like, come on, God, when you get pregnant, it's not a joke. Like, the hormonally, it's not a joke, right? The things that we have to, all the mothers, come on, all the mothers, come, everybody clap for the mothers. You don't know. You have no idea what our bodies went through and what our minds went through all alone, right? Nobody understands unless you've experienced it. I was like, God, it's not fair. Isn't it enough for us to go through childbearing? And then towards the end, we have to go through menopause? Give it to men. It's called menopause. Give it to men. Why do women have to go through this? Right? I was so angry at God, like the creator. It's like, God, why'd you create us like this? I was so mad. And God's like, but Sonny, you don't understand. The world, you have mistaken my intent. It's like, really? What do you mean? I allow women to go through menopause because you deserve to be loved unconditionally. And if you're in the right family with enough education, you'll be loved unconditionally, even if you don't deserve it. I just wanted you to be loved. It's like, really? So as soon as I heard that word, Benjamin, God says that we go through this Because God wants us to be loved unconditionally. So I may act crazy. I may give you those eyes and talk to you in certain tones, but you cannot get mad at me. You got to still love me. That's your job, okay? You have to be a good example, God, right, at Living Hope, right? And so Benjamin's like, oh, okay. And you know what? Like, he really tried. Like, I'll be screaming. He's like, you need anything? And he still smiled. He still loved me. I was like, okay. And even though I was feeling I was being loved unconditionally, I was still miserable inside. You know those angry people? They're the most miserable people in the world. It's not that they make your life miserable. They're miserable inside, right? I was miserable inside, right? I felt like my daughter's going to need, like, years of therapy after my menopause, right? It's like, I don't want to be this kind of mom. And then one Sunday, we were at 4550. Benjamin preached this sermon, right? And he talked about how the enemy is very patient. Maybe you'll remember this sermon, that one shovel at a time. He knows that one shovel of, right, is not going to, like, bring you down. But he's patient. He knows what's going to tick Emily, right? And then, so he's, like, someone's going to, like, I don't know. Do you hate driving? Do you like driving? Let's say you hate driving, right? I hate driving. And Jimmy says, can you drive? And then Emily's like, oh, but you're the man. I'm so tired. Can you drive? Fine. And you're driving. And nothing. But then the few days later, Jimmy's like, oh, can you go get this for me? I'm like, and Emily, I'm like, no. Emily's like, what? You go get it yourself, right? And then a few weeks later, oh, man, Emily, I lost my keys. Oh, we have to go back all the, oh, and you search, right? And little at a time, like just a little, one shovel at a time. The enemy knows that this shovel, right, it's not going to bring you down, but he knows enough of that, maybe 10 years, you're going to walk away from your faith. You're going to walk away from your relationship. The enemy, no, he's very patient. And he talked about, we just ignore it. But he talked about Benaiah, remember that? Benaiah, he saw a ditch with lion inside. And that's like a ditch, right? That's like my perimenopause, right? Me going, ah, right? And I felt like God was saying, Sonny, why? Why? You don't have to accept this as life. See, Benaiah said, well, it's in the ditch. Any one of us would say, it's not harming anybody, and would have walked away. But Benaiah said, one day that lion can harm somebody. And Benaiah jumped into the pit, and he killed the lion. And I felt like the Lord was saying, you can't just accept this and as life. It's going to harm the very people you love, your daughter, your husband, your church members, right? I had no patience at that time. I don't know if you remember. I tried to be really nice, but I really, right? I was like. So I remember I was the first one at the altar, the preached word. I wasn't strong enough to get to the word. But when I came to church, I received the word, and the word, I received it as the word of God, and it did something. It changed my mindset, my perspective of where I am, who I am, that I am not stuck, that I am not helpless, and God could help me. So I remember from that moment on, as soon as I got up, I said, God, give me wisdom. Give me heavenly wisdom to overcome this perimenopause that's supposed to be so natural. And that Monday, you know what God spoke to me? He said, Sonny, you need to be drowned by the word of God. You want to overcome perimenopause? You need to be drowned every day. You see, I cannot wait till Sunday. See, perimenopause, I'm not strong enough to go get the bread by myself because I open and I read. Same thing over and over again. What? Oh, and like, I can't even read. I have to read it like this, right? Behold, I will refine. What? Even as a pastor, because of my hormones, I couldn't get to bread. But I need to be drowned by the word of God. So I went to the preached word of God, the message. So you know what I started to do? I started to download the podcast and I started to listen to 2 to 3 sermons. You name it. Bill Johnson, Chris Valentin, T.D. Jakes, right? I was listening to Joel Olsen. I love them all. I love them all. You know, some people don't. This person, no, they're men of God, right? And I listen to Stephen Furtick. I listen to, right, everyone, 2 to 3 sermons a day. And you know what I realized? First few days, I didn't see any difference. But about 2 weeks later, I felt joy. And I didn't feel angry. I didn't feel frustrated. And 5 years later, even till this day, you know, I listen to the preached word of God once or twice a day. Even this morning, I listened to Chris Valentin. Last night, I went to sleep listening to one, right? The preached word of God. When I am weak, I go and I receive the word through the message, the preached word of God. You hear me? When you come to Sunday to receive the word and you receive it as the word of God, it works in you effectively. Everybody say effectively. It cleanses you, it nourishes you, and it strengthens you, right? Romans 10:7, it says in NIV, consequently, faith comes from the hearing the message. Everybody say the message. Okay, and the message is heard through the word about Christ and New King James Version. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Let's look at Romans 10:8. Okay, we're going to look at some scriptures. Since we're talking about the word of God, can we focus on actual word of God, right? Let's look at Romans 10. Okay, I'm going to read it for you. But what does it say? The word is near you. Everybody say, the word is near me. In your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever, everybody say whoever, believes on him will not be put to shame. Let's stay there for a little bit. Whoever, if you believe, you will not be put to shame. Oh, but what if God doesn't heal me? What if God doesn't answer my prayer? What if I'm ashamed? No, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. As I was reading this, I couldn't move on. This portion is not even about my sermon. It's the next portion. But I couldn't move on. First one is the word is near me. The word is near me. It is in my mouth. It is in my heart. The word of God is near me. The word of God is near me. And whoever believes in his word will not be put to shame. Do you believe that? If you believe it, it will work effectively, powerfully in you, in us. Amen? For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Next section, verse 14. This is the main, okay? How then shall they call on him? Whoever calls on him will be saved. But then the next verse says, but how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Right? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed the report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Every Sunday you come, you hear a message. We never send you away without preaching, right? Every Sunday you hear. Intentionally, as you hear every message and you receive it as a word of God. When you leave, you are being sent. You're not just here for you to eat. You're here to eat and take. You're the delivery man. Not just Benjamin and I. You are. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you call yourself a Christian, if you come to church and you hear the message, you remember I told you, delivery man, here, you eat first. You let it work in you first. That's what you're doing on Sunday. As you hear me, you're actually spiritually eating. And when you eat, then you are empowered to feed others. So on Sunday, as you hear the message, you are being sent to preach the word of God through your life. Number one, how? By living it out. The number one way to preach is by living it out. If we preach about forgiveness, then you forgive somebody that week. You live it out. If we preach about the written word of God, open the Bible and read. You live the word out. That's how you become the preacher. And once you live it out, then you ask, don't be, you know, unless God called you, don't be, you know, those like street preacher, you're going to go to hell. No, but as you eat, as you live it out, you ask God for discernment. God, are you calling me? Is there anyone that needs to hear this word? You have to ask the Holy Spirit. Benjamin and I don't come Sunday, hopefully you will speak. We prepare. We ask God, what do you want to say to your people? God, we want to hear your word. Just like that, as you leave, you are determined to live this word out, number one. And number two, you ask God, okay, prepare me. Prepare my words. God, help me to preach this. You know, I just need to highlight this person because as I was preparing, all I could think about is Sal. Sal, you are a sermon. You are a message. Your life is a message. Your community group, even pastors, the way Sal loves and honors and serves his mother, even I learned. You hear me? Right? And Sal opened up in his community group. Sal, it's okay, I talk about you, right? It's for his glory, right? I didn't even ask him in advance. You see, Sal's mother is not well. She cannot bathe herself, right? He has to take care of her. And I remember when we were going to Philippines and he was saying that he has to bathe her, right? He takes care. And the whole time we were preparing to go to Philippines, number one concern was for his mother. And as I heard him just who does that? You know what I mean? He's a man, right? He's a man, and he does that. He serves, he lives, and the community group sees how he loves and honors his mother. And when he shares, it's never a burden. He never shares it as, ugh. No, he shares it as his duty out of love, right? And when he brought his mom, everybody, like the whole, there's only one lady and there's like 8-9 men surrounding her, like, you know, taking care of her and following behind, like two people are like next side of her and then there's like 5-6 of them standing in the back, right? And they go out to eat, right? One person goes and gets the parking, another person runs and get a chair and like they're just all loving on her. Where did they learn that? They heard the message. Through life that he lived out. The message that he's living out. And you know, Sal, like 2 weeks ago, I was in Anchorage, Alaska. I remember my mom, her back was broken. And I could tell, like she hasn't bathed herself for days. How could she? She couldn't even walk. You know what I mean? And I was like, oh, mommy, let me bathe you. And like, we had to like almost halfway carry her. And as I'm bathing her, I was thinking of you, Sal. Sal does this all the time. And even though I was physically tired, because I was tired. I was so tired. I kind of didn't want to do it. But I knew she needed a bath. But then when I thought about Sal's face, I got joy. Because the way you serve your mom, you're living that message out. And I definitely heard that message. And now I get to serve my mom. Even as your pastor, I'm learning from you. I'm seeing the word of God being lived out in and through your life, Sal. How can they hear? How can they call on somebody that they don't believe? But how can they believe the one that they haven't heard of? But how can they hear without a preacher? If you're not living the word of God out, I feel like most of Christians, you're still trying to live out the first sermon you heard when you gave your life to Jesus, trying to be saved. And then every Sunday, it's like Benjamin and I, blah, 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 God, blah, blah, blah. Because you're not living this out. You're still trying to live out the first sermon. But God is calling you. You are able to. You know how you strengthen yourself? By living out the message. Focus on the main message. Even today, God, what are you saying to me? Maybe to you, go give your elderly mother a bath. Go feed her. I don't know. Whatever the message is, you do it. You obey. You live it out. So even if Sal opened his mouth, his life being lived out becomes a message. He's a preacher. And then you ask God. You ask God. You know, I thought about, you heard about my father, right? The outsider sermon. If you haven't, go listen to it. And I thought, man, God, what if I didn't obey? The first time I found him, I shared the gospel and I held his hand and I led him to Christ. If I didn't go, right? He wouldn't have heard. And you know what? The fourth time I found him, right, in the nursing home, the director of that nursing home says, you know, your father never misses a Sunday worship. There's a pastor that comes here every Sunday, and he always, always, he never missed a Sunday worship. Because I went. Because I obeyed. You hear me? The word of the Lord to you today is this, that you are a mouthpiece of God. Your words represent God, whether you know it or not. Whether you know it or not. If you're like me when I have perimenopause and you're just angry, people are going to think God is an angry God. You represent God. I repented, okay? I'm a changed person, okay? You hear me? You are a mouthpiece of God to your family, to your coworkers, to your friends. You are a mouthpiece of God. And as I shared earlier, my dream, right? Tuesday night, I had a dream that somebody was going to kill Aletheia. And I had to fight this demonic witch doctor from killing my daughter. And I didn't tell the details in my dream. As I was fighting this witch doctor, she became so powerful, she levitated to the sky. In that moment, I knew I didn't have that kind of power to levitate to fight. Aletheia was behind me. And even in that moment, I looked up and said, "You're not going to win. I am determined to fight this out till the end, and I know the end result is I will kill you. You will not kill my daughter." And when I woke up, right, I heard that the spirit of death is coming at our members to kill our faith. But God said, "Sonny, if you fight, you will win." Do you believe? See, for me, that was a word of God that he gave me. If I fight, I will win. As long as I don't give up, if I fight, I will win. And you know, I've been fasting for 2 weeks. And after about 2 weeks, like, I got kind of weak and, like, nauseous and weak, right? And so around, like, especially when I had to take those kids to In-N-Out yesterday, and I'm watching them eat, and I'm thinking, I fasted enough. I could eat and pray. I'll have more strength to pray if I eat. I so wanted to eat, and I felt like it was okay for me to eat. But in that moment of weakness, that hunger pain, that weakness, right? I keep hearing God, Sonny, if you fight, you will win. If you fight, you will win. And I would just call out names of our members. Every time I felt weak, God, heal this person. Every time I felt like I was gonna like fall because I felt weak, God, heal this person. Every time I wanted to eat something so bad, I was like, God, more than I want to eat, I want you to move mightily. And you know what God said? I want you guys to mark my words, because God is about to move among us. God is about to move among us. Do you know how I know? Do you know how I know? I'm so excited. Not because I'm fasting. Do you know how I know God's going to move? Last night, so if you know me, I am not afraid of demons, right? I have 99 out of 100 success rate of deliverance. The only time I wasn't successful was in Hibala when that person fell asleep, right? I'm not afraid of demons, but I'm afraid of bugs. And Emily, you shared about like the man who was dying getting healed and worship and stuff like that. Right before, like that night before, the cockroach attacked me. When God is about to move, the enemy uses bugs to get at me because I'm so afraid. Like something crawls under my skin. And last night, right, I was so encouraged. I was like about to put on Facebook, God, I trust in you. You're going to move powerfully. You're a healing revival. God, yes, yes, yes. And I'm trying to sleep. And out of nowhere, I'm not kidding, it was not a vision. It was real. Real bugs kept coming at me. And I felt something. I went like this. And it was a bug. I was like, ew. And then something went like this. Like, oh. And then it was a bug. And then something went crawling down. Like, argh. And then I am not lying. I am speaking the truth. For like an hour, there's little bugs. And you know what I did? I killed it with my fingers. You guys, I killed bugs with my dunam. You know that's not normal. I didn't even have time to go get books or shoes. I killed it with my fingers and I crushed it. It was the size of my pinky fingernails. It flew. It was coming at me. Remember I told you during that time, the bees came, right? I was praying every morning at 5. I woke up and I prayed for 2 hours in Africa. This was in Africa, right? And when we went to this village, right, I was about to come out of the tent. It was quiet. Africa, right? Think about it. Africa, right? Field. And I'm about to, like, come out, right? And I'm going to go into the woods, right? Sylvia, you were there with me. Sylvia is my witness, right? So, we were sleeping, and they were all sleeping. So I went, like, as soon as I opened the, like, thousands of bees came and was, like, attacking. And I closed it. And I was like, I could pray inside of the tent. But then I felt like a punk. It's like, oh, you're going to keep the bees from, like, you know. I'm like, I need to get out. So I thought, I used to be a soccer player, right? So I could run faster than the bees. So I opened and I ran to the other side. And then every one of those bees followed me. And you know what they did? They surrounded me. And they attacked me without stinging me. And I'm like, oh God, right? And I tried to pray for about an hour, and in my head it's like, I don't think I could stay any longer. I need to run back in. But then I thought, but what if I'm giving up like 30 seconds before my breakthrough? So I started to worship, because God already told me the answer is in worship. And as I worshiped, a few minutes later, every one of them just flew away. Like that, last night, these bugs, they're not flies. I saved one to show Benjamin because I've never seen these kind of bugs, right? And so, like, these bugs were actually, like, my face, my neck going down. It was, like, coming at me. But you know what I realized? Every time I went like this, it died immediately. Every time I went like this, it died immediately. Just like the threat is real. The bugs are real. The bees were real. Right now, the threat of the enemy over your life is real. But the truth is you and I have faith in Christ Jesus. We have the greatest weapon, the Word of God. And with the Word of God, all it takes is shh, and it dies. Shh, and it dies. Cancer, shh, and it dies. Huh? Sickness, shh, depression, shh. All it takes is the Word of God. And through the Word of God, shh, the threat is real, but it has no power. The only way it has power is you to, if you just freak out. I mean, what if last night, and I woke you gently, right? Because she spent the night, right? Right? And I'm pretty sure I would have been okay. But I just spent the whole night freaking out. We could either freak out or we could trust God. Knowing the Word is near you. Everybody said, the Word is near me. It is in my mouth. It is in my heart. You see, as long as the Word of God is near you, it's in your mouth, it's in your heart, I don't care what kind of threat comes your way. The Word of God can crush every demonic bugs that comes after your relationship, after your faith, after your family, after your calling. The Word of God is near you. It is in your heart. It is in your mouth. Amen. If you fight, you will win. I want you to stand up. God, I thank you that the Word of God is near us. The Word of God is near us. It is in our mouth and it is in our hearts. Father, I thank you that even though the threat of the enemy is real, attacking our faith, saying you're not strong enough, you're not powerful enough, you don't have enough faith to overcome this. God, the threat is real. But even though the threat is real, God, the Word of God is near us. It is in our mouths and it is in our hearts. And with that weapon, we can crush every demonic threat that comes against us. So Holy Spirit, will you speak to every son, every daughter of yours? Right now, I want you to ask God. Just next 30 seconds, I want you to think about the word that was preached. What is God's word to you personally? What is he saying? Is he saying, open your Bibles and read? Is he saying, listen to the message? Is he saying, live it out? I want you to hear the voice of God. What is he saying to you? What does he want you to live out this week from today's message? I don't know. I break that lie off of you right now. I break that lie off of you right now. The Word of God is near you. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart. So, Father, we ask that you would empower us to live out your word, that our lives would become the message of our Father, our loving Father, God. Just like Sal lives out your love, God, your love in his relationship with his mother and his community group, Lord. God, empower us to live out your word so that our lives would become a heavenly message for those that are around us, Lord. The Word of God is near you. It is in your mouth. And it is in your heart. And if you fight, you will win. If you fight, you will win. Holy Spirit, right now, speak to us. Speak to every one of us, God. For our lives to become your word that is preached. God, tomorrow, Let my coworkers, let my family, when they see me, God, let them see your word. Let them see your word that is in my mouth. Let them see your word that is in my heart. Empower me to live it out, God. Live it out, God. I want to be that living word that is being lived out. I want to glorify you by my life, Lord. Father, we lift up the word of God in its rightful place right now. God, often we put it aside. We put it aside and we see it once in a while as the religious activity. As a Christian, I should read. I should do my QT. But God, today we lift it out of that corner and we lift it above us, God. We put your word in the rightful place, God. Your word, God. Your word that is alive, that is active, that is alive, that is active. We put the word of God in the rightful place in our lives. In our community, in our church, Lord. Speak to us, for your sons and daughters are listening. With every eye closed, I want to ask. The scripture we read earlier, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You heard the word of God. You could believe him. You could call upon him and you will be saved. Right now in the presence of God, if that's you, say, Pastor Sonny, I want to believe. I want to receive him. Or maybe some of you, I want to come back. If that's you, I want you to lift your hands. I want you to allow the word of God to come inside of you and effectively work in you. I see that hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? I see that hand. Anyone else? Today you are inviting the living bread of God. You are inviting the word of God that is alive and active into your heart. I see that hand. Anyone else? Come on. I see that hand. You are receiving. You are receiving the bread of life, Jesus Christ. And as you believe, you are saved. As you believe, the word of God will work effectively, powerfully in and through your life. For those that raised their hands, will you all just pray this prayer with me? Will you pray? Will you repeat after me and pray with your brother and your sisters that have just raised their hands? Say, Jesus, I confess that you are God. You are the Son of God. That you died for my sin. And that you resurrected on the third day. And you reign at the right hand of God. I receive your love. I believe in your love. I want to remain in your love. Help me to remain. Holy Spirit, fill me with your spirit that I may lean on you, that you may lead my life step by step, day by day. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you give him praise?